have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press in. Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Oh, I am not. Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. No, I am not Apostle Irvin Whitlow. I am Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., sitting in for the great apostle on this particular evening. We bless God for this day. As you've often heard the word said, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but I've chosen to rejoice and to be glad in it. The very fact that God gave us life, health, and strength, he has gotten us through another week. And here we are with this opportunity to just share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us and to take time to share with us. But we're going to get into some things. I know the last time we were together, we talked about the subject, you say you love me. Where is the proof? And I know we may touch that just a little bit, but we may not get too deep into it because there are some new things that we're going to talk about and share tonight. So without further ado, I'm going to find out the panel that is with us tonight and those wonderful people who are going to assist us in our ministry for this given night. Let me start out with one of the most wonderful couples I have come to know in quite some time. I just so appreciate them. Wherever he goes, she goes, and wherever she is, there he will be also, as the Lord permits. I need you to come and please, please welcome my dear brother and my dear sister, my good friends, the Gabriels, brother Gabriel and sister Teresa. Ooh, Otis.
Good evening,
Gabriel.
Everybody.
Sorry, brother.
Good evening.
How you gonna do it? Brother Otis, how do they call you breathing again?
And this is Brother Otis. Nice to be on the line. I know we're going to have an exciting time this evening.
Yes, we are. We are. And I know there are some others here, and I'm going to find out. Is Reverend Billy Gabriel in the house? My brother, let me hear your voice. Okay, he hasn't made it as of yet. Either that or he's on mute.
There he is.
All right. I just had to make sure. All right. Now, come on, my brother. Just address the audience for a moment. Say hello to our people. Oh, I didn't do that right. Okay. Come on, brother. Real quick. All right, he may not know where I'm going, but we'll come back in a minute. Okay? Now, I have a wonderful sister who comes, and she has been with us for a short while, but she has been a high-level impact person since coming in. Is Apostle Felicia Flight with us tonight? Okay, I don't hear her. I'm not sure if she's made it, but we are not going to prolong. Now, I don't know who else has joined us, so let me just put it out there for everybody that's listening. If you would just let me know who you are, where you're from, and if you're here visiting, talk to me. Nobody. Okay. Well, I guess it's just the three of us. And of course, I'm saving the absolute best for last. If she doesn't do what she does, there would be no, it would be a problem. Let me say it like that. Okay. So, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I'm going to ask that you open your mic and speak to us real quick. How are you?
I'm good, and this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and rejoice and rejoice.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank God for each and every one of you as you've come on. Well, as I said, we're going to tackle quite a few issues tonight. And I know last week we got into You Say You Love Me, Where Is the Proof? And I want to finish that one up very quickly before I move to the next phase or to the next area that we are going to talk about. So here's what I'm going to do. Reverend Billy Gabriel, if you would please get me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to the end of that verse. I'm going to ask Lady Teresa Gabriel to pray us in on this given day, because we know we often don't come and ask you to do this, but I believe you got it in you to do what's needed and or necessary. So if you would be so kind as to take a moment to pray us in, and then Reverend Billy, give us those scriptures, we will move forward.
Amen, amen. Good evening, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this time together. We love, we adore you, we praise your name. We ask that your presence be with us during this session tonight. Please forgive us for anything that we've done today that was not pleasing unto you, either by thought, words, or deeds. And we thank you tonight for this session. We thank you for everyone who has taken the time to join us on the call tonight, and bless us to have a real good session tonight. And let us come away with greater understanding about making marriages meaningful. So bless everyone that's on the line tonight, and we praise and worship your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Reverend Billy?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reading.
Keep going.
Oh.
Keep going.
And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Uh-huh.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ dead, by you reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Amen.
My God. Amen. Amen. You know, there are points in times when, and I know we said we were going to try to wrap this up, and I know we covered a lot of the positive last week when we got ready to talk, and we talked about some of the things. We're talking about, you say you love me, where is the proof? Well, primarily, there's a lot of scripture that we can go into, and I know we talked about scripture over there in Ephesians that talked about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And as you look at the particular scriptures that were read in your hearing, the very first thing that should jump out to you is, if there any man be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. In order for you to show the proof of your love to your spouse, as we talk about making marriages meaningful, you have to have a solid, sound foundation. And last week, before we went off the air, Lady Teresa made mention of a passage of scripture that could be found in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm trying to remember the chapter and verse, and when it comes to me, I'll look it up, and if you have it, Lady Teresa, please let me know what it is. It says that a three-strand cord cannot be easily broken. One of the proofs that there is love in a marriage is the very fact that there is a solid foundation. And what I mean by that is having a solid foundation in Jesus Christ, putting him first in your life, before you ever tied the knot, before you ever said I do, before you ever got to the place and to the point where you are now ready to move forward in your relationships. And don't get it twisted. God's word is what it is, and it does what it does, and it's able and has the capacity to do what the word says it can. And if it says a three-strand cord is not easily broken, think about this. If Jesus Christ is centered in your marriage, the way you center Christ in your marriage is, first of all, make him Lord of your life. And if he's Lord of your life, husband, you being the head, your wife has no problem following you and going where you go because she sees who your leader is. It's funny how even in the church world, people will go to certain churches because they notice a quality in the leader of that congregation. And so they go not necessarily to imitate that leader, but they go with point and purpose of learning and gleaning from that leader and learning things that's going to help them to move forward and to be better than who they are or what they are. Now, I mean, and I there's just so much. I mean, just so much, you know. I mean, let me try to get this in here. First and foremost, when we talk about loving somebody, what are we talking about when we talk about love? Let me start with the Gabriels first. Explain to me, you know, and I know Tina Turner had that song out years ago, What's Love Got to Do with It? Love has everything to do with it. So take a minute and share with me, you know, what share with me your version of love and what you think love is and what you think love ought to be. I'm listening. Take yourself off mute, as you would say.
You hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes, love carries with it, first of all, a presumptive meaning and behaviors and consequences, responsibilities. So, first of all, love means different things to different people. And those different things is based on what we desire in a relationship. You would be shocked at asking someone, say, I want a man that does this, or I want a woman that does this. And we would be surprised at what people want in a relationship. Now, for me, which is the only person I can speak for, when I say I love you to my wife, then she can understand that, first of all, I am going to cater to her. I am going to find out what her desires are, what her likes are, and those are going to be the activities that I will focus on. I'm going to make sure that she is well protected from financial disasters, from business disasters, from unfriendly people, unpleasant circumstances, to the utmost of my ability. Even if that means eliminating some of our family members from our inner circle, is my wife's happiness comes first. Because often people become over-sentimental and emotional about relationship titles. If something happened, a woman say, he stole $40,000, but it was my son. Hey, if someone steals $40,000 from you, regardless of what the relationship title is, you are missing $40,000, and the consequences are the same. So I just make sure that my wife knows that she is loved, protected, cared for. And one thing that I'd like to put in there is, and I'll tell you about that sometimes in the future, that I don't argue with my wife. People have been around us. There have been many people who have lived with us, like our daughters. No one has ever heard me raise my voice at my wife. And I'll tell you the reason why later on. I know my mother-in-law used to live with us up to 6 months at a time. And one day she said, "Why do you and TC never argue?" And I said, "Well, tell me what we should argue about. Then maybe I can add it later on." But no, we don't argue with each other, and I would never raise my voice. I haven't done it yet, and I have no plans in the future for doing so. And once I tell you how that happened, then you will understand. But that is love to me. It's caring, keeping my wife happy, keeping her smiling, and letting her, and this is something that is really strange. Whatever my wife would like to do, I trust that she is intelligent enough and reasonable enough to know what she wants. If she wants to make a purchase of this trinket, it looks like something weird to me, but if that is what will make her happy, she put it in the basket, I make absolutely no comment about it. If it makes her happy, good enough for me.
All right now. Well, let me go to Reverend Billy, and I know, well, we've heard over the days, weeks, and months of some of the things that you have been through. In your young, tender age, sir, your idea of love, talk to me.
Well, I can't really top that brother just shared. I agree with him wholeheartedly, and I can only can think in terms of that love chapter.
Okay.
Today, I see that it entails love. About the long. Apparently, I was short on that one. In many cases. Suffering, so you be able to take a lot of stuff, and you just fold your lip and hope everything passes over. And a lot, it's time. And that might have been something that led up to the fact I was brusque. I did not do the things. I did not act in a reasonable manner. You know, as you notice, I speak in the past tense because of the area which I am now a bachelor. Mm-hmm. And I rejoice in the truth. And there were so many times when I thought I was telling the truth, covering up a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That was puffing myself up, and it bounced back and hit me in the face. And I bet, and the other one, that love bears all things. And all too often, there were times when I could not bear some of the things that were offered. I was just the opposite. I operated in the opposite of the things that the Bible speaks of, describes what love is. I was good in some of the areas and weak in the others.
Mm-hmm.
Result of that is it, how they look at the cliche say is just, love is just as strong as the weakest link. And if you fault it, it goes right down to all of them because it resonates just like a ripple in the river when you throw a rock, and it has the same effect. And I know that it's hurtful. It could be disrespectful. It could be demeaning. And totally, as I said, disrespectful and unkind and unmerited to the wife who is doing all the good things. So I really just have to stick to those things and just the opposite by action.
Billy Ray.
All right.
I'm listening.
Did you have a guest on tonight?
I asked one to come on. I asked two to come on, yes.
Okay, I know earlier you said you might have a guest tonight.
When I asked if there was anybody else available, we got no response. So are they there, or do you think they might have showed up? Introduce them, and let's hope that they're there.
I have no idea. I gave them the number and the hookup, as they call it, and I'm hoping
all
that
right.
they're
on. I have several numbers. I have several numbers.
Yeah, that's why.
Let's
do this. Let's do this so we can get the show back in order. Introduce them, and if they are here, open your mics, whoever you are. Introduce yourself so that we can all know who you are and allow you opportunity and chance to share with us. So go ahead. Introduce them.
I had asked that my friend, Lynette Davis, to join us tonight. Whether she
okay.
joined. Are you on, Lynette?
Miss Lynette Davis, are you here? Okay, unmute your mic if you are here. All right. And your other guest that you invited?
And, of course, I constantly invite my friend Charles Blackburn to come on. He had asked.
All right. Brother Blackburn, are you with us tonight? Well, that's all right. I mean, you know, and if they do come on, hopefully they'll join in the conversation. But let's move forward. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I do need to hear from you. Talk to me. What is love? In your estimation, I know God is love and love is God. I want to take that one out of the picture because that's an obvious. Without that, you have no leg to stand on. I want to hear your opinion and what you think love is. Come on back. We just heard you seconds ago. Don't be shy.
I'm so sorry. I was on mute. Love is a beautiful word. Love, especially when you're in love.
Uh-huh.
Love is like, it's like you want nothing but the best for that person. You want to, of course you love yourself. So when you love yourself, you're able to love others. And so with that being said, you want to make sure that their needs are met. You don't try to make them angry. You are concerned about their health, their wealth, and it's just amazing what love is. And I really believe that when you are in love with someone, you do whatever it takes to make that work. And you want to have compromises, but it's how you compromise. You don't put down each other. It's beautiful. And that would be my definition.
All right. And I'm asking these questions for a specific reason. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I really want to get into some things, you know. I mean, you know, and there are so many different scriptures that I can go to. All right. You say you love me. Where's the proof? Let's figure some things out. First and foremost, a lot of men I'm finding don't really thoroughly, completely understand their role and what so many marriages possibly may be missing today is God as the foundation. And when I asked the three of you, or the four of you, I should say, about what you thought love was or what love should be, I was hoping that you, and I know I took out the one where it would say God, love is God and God is love, and I did that on purpose. But I was hoping that you would allude to something that would help us to better understand from a human perspective what love. But we know that the thing that's missing today is God as the actual foundation. And too often couples will overlook the importance of God in their relationships, in their decision-making. Godly husbands are called, they're called upon by the Heavenly Father to influence that relationship. And when you have a husband who, first of all, does not know how to influence that relationship, you put that relationship in jeopardy. When you have a head of the house who does not know how to be the prophet, priest, and king of that house, who does not know how to serve his family, I have to take the time to recognize and realize that first and foremost, we have to take them back to the basics. You've heard me say this a dozen times, so a dozen and one. is not going to make a difference. First of all, sir, whoever's listening by way of radio, wherever you may be, you ask that woman to leave the comfort of her home, meaning her mother and her father, to leave the security of the house that she once lived in, where she grew up. Whether she was a daddy's girl or not is irrelevant. The fact is you're asking her to leave the family that she has known for years, the only family she has come to know, people that love her in spite of herself, with her idiosyncrasies, with her shortcomings, with her flaws, with all those things that possibly you might deem to be wrong. You're asking her to part company with that portion of family and to come with you and to create a family. And when God is not in the middle, God the husband, when God calls upon us to influence our relationships, it is our job and our responsibility to move forward in these things. And when we do this, a true and loving relationship follows because God is at the center of it all. When it comes to love, the Bible is mostly filled with wisdom for husbands and for wives. And many of these same principles can be applied for husbands and wives on their journey through their marriage. Here is where we have to, when I made mention of what Lady Teresa made mention of last week in the scripture in Ecclesiastes, a three-strand cord is not easily broken. You learn how to apply the word. You learn how to apply the advice of the word to your daily living. You take time to talk to each other and communicate with one another and pray with one another, pray for one another. It's important for women to be in relationships with men who are not only respectful toward them, but who also glorify God. You got to understand, men, that when your wife sees God in you, when your wife sees the glory of God in you, when your wife sees the radiance of the Lord in you, it causes her to become submissive. When Paul said in Ephesians, in 1 Peter, when he told the wives to be submissive to their husbands as unto the Lord, this is specifically what he was talking about. And in these marriages, couples who allow God to guide them, to lead them, to guard them, they'll find themselves in a specific position. Now, there are seven marks, and I'm going to talk really about the role of a husband because I know the abuse issue is on both sides of the fence. Husbands do it more so than wives. So I want to deal primarily with the men tonight. And I wanted to save this for our men, for a men's fellowship, but I'll probably come back and talk about it again at some particular point in time. But for tonight, let's talk about the role of a husband. Number one, the late Aretha Franklin and a few other people made this song. I can't think of the other gentleman's name who did it before Aretha Franklin, but they used to do that R-E-S-P-E-C-T. When that man knows how to treat you with respect, Wilson Pickett, thank you, sir. When that man knows how to treat you with R-E-S-P-E-C-T, he doesn't treat you like a carpet, treat you like a rug, like a linoleum floor, like you were made to walk on. He understands that you walk by his side and not behind him. He understands that you are called alongside to assist in the overall vision that God has given him as a husband. When he understands, please, please understand, respect. It's one of the most important factors in any relationship, and especially in the eyes. Godly husband knows how and will at most times, I'll say at most, because let's just be real, when you're early in your marriage, especially in the first 2 or 3 years, and if you really haven't been properly trained, there is that opportunity for you to be disrespectful, but you can recover from it. I have seen marriages break up in the first 3 years because of one little tiny incident, which truth of the matter is, you could see forgiveness was working strong in that relationship. But see, had they had the proper proper training, that godly husband would have known how to respect his wife. Now, you see, the Bible tells us husbands in the same way, and this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity, a chance to respond before we move on. This basically,
yes.
And we'll get to the end result of that. When you treat them with respect, what does R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Let me start with Lady Teresa first, because I know we fellas, we jump off the handle, we dive off the diving board, hit the springboard, and we go in with a triple flick, with a back lay, out lay, and a pike position. But I need the ladies tonight. I really need the ladies tonight. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Sister Cheryl, if she's here, whoever's here. Ladies, I want to hit you first. Fellas, I ain't going to forget you, but I want to get these ladies talking tonight. Come on, Lady Teresa, and talk to us.
All right. Well, respect starts with feeling, giving you the feeling of being safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just feeling safe and secure with your husband and spouse. Another thing is that he listens to me,
mm-hmm.
and again, that's very respectful, because a lot of times communication is a problem with marriages and couples. And he's
mm-hmm.
always very encouraging. We may see different ideas about things, but he will listen to my opinions and thoughts and feelings,
uh-huh.
and he encourages me and sometimes, you know, helps me to, you know, do things better in a different way. It always
okay.
feels like he puts me first. And
I like that.
Yes. And when we talk, he has learned to reveal a lot of intimate details about himself that in the beginning
All right.
we didn't think about things like that. But over the years, he has revealed a lot of intimate details about himself to me. So those are a few things that I thought about. And love is just a strong and lasting affection between the two of us.
Amen. Amen. Sister Kimmy Kim, take yourself off mute. Talk to me, sis. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Tell me what it means to you. You're on mute, dear heart. Dr. Robinson. Paging Dr. Robinson. Wherefore art thou?
Oh, I'm here. I was just talking. What was the question again? I'm so sorry.
Respect.
I was just.
When,
yeah.
I know. I leave your mic. If you can't leave your mic open, stay close by, because I'm going to try to do this rapidly. We're probably going to be on here just an hour, maybe. But
oh, no, no,
respect. What does
I'm
that mean
now.
To you?
Respect
okay,
means.
Okay, what does respect?
Caring for someone's feelings. Having understanding of how they're feeling. You want to make sure that you don't hurt someone's feeling. You want to make sure that
mm-hmm.
it's not all. You want to make sure that, you know, you are understanding how one feels, and you try your best not to cross that line. It's a boundary
uh-huh.
you just don't cross with someone when you truly respect
okay.
someone. So I really
okay.
believe that I don't think it's earned. Some people think it's
uh-huh.
earned, but
uh-huh.
I think for me, respectfully, I give it to you, and then I take it away. But we do have the quiet storm on.
Ooh. Is that my dear sister, Pastor Anna Henderson? Unmute yourself, dear heart. Going once, come on, Pastor Henderson, come on. Help her get unmuted, Sister Kimmy. But we'll come back to her in just a minute. Now listen, let me say this. Y'all heard me mention 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We've got to recognize, brothers, that respect is so vital and so important that God's word tells us if we neglect this command. This is the word. I did not make this up. When you open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, it says that if you neglect to respect your wife, the Bible says, not Bishop-elect Richards, not Brother Otis Gabriel, not Reverend Billy Gabriel, you know, not Apostle Irvin Whitlow or anybody else. It says your prayers will be hindered. And the worst thing you want is hindered prayer. Now, I didn't give the gentleman a chance to respond, so at this particular time, let me give my brothers an opportunity. Let me start with you, Reverend Billy, and then we'll come back to Brother Otis.
Okay, and I thank you very much. And my estimation, respect is very, very important, especially, mm-hmm. and I have seen people disrespect their wives and their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
I can just mm-hmm. use some examples when you try to belittle them about the way they dress or about their size or about the way they talk or at a place of a public situation in a restaurant or in a shop. When he speaks to her unkindly or demeaningly and just the opposite of just the opposite of what my brother says. If she says she wants this pair of shoes, and he will yell at her, just an example, you don't need them shoes. You got five pairs at home. And things of this nature in public, belittling her in mm-hmm. public. And there are so many areas that cause us disrespectful. And I speak on primarily that those I have heard. It's primarily about the dress and the size. Oh yes, and sometimes about the schooling and the way she talks. I think in that area, anything that causes her to be embarrassed or demeaning, belittling, I see that as totally disrespectful. It's like a false face in the crowd. It's going back to the question. That made that question about, you say you love me, but where is the proof? Or where is the action? And if I say I love her, that would be no reason, no way for me to be talking to her or not taking out with me when I go to see my friends. And I'm going out alone and she's never with me. That's disrespectful. Not sharing ideas, that's disrespectful. Spending money without sharing with her. That's disrespectful. Coming home and not showing her gifts and love and affection after things that she might have done for you. That's disrespectful. It's a long list of things that I can consider disrespectful.
Okay. All right. Brother Otis, you know I
right.
get you.
Right here. Yes, I was really anxious to respond to this, especially the part that you asked in the prelude is what love is, and you mentioned that God was not mentioned. I am so happy you said that. My wife and I have a very similar life as a Christian, life experience. We have been Christians from birth. We didn't join at 18, 25, and so forth, like other people, many people that we know did. We were, both of us, even though we didn't know each other then, were Christians from birth. Everything we did, we went to church before we went to school, many years before we even went to school. And it's just as much as part of our lives as breathing. So, if you would have asked a question, say, how did you do in school when you were in elementary school? I would have said I made mostly B's and C's or did pretty good. I would not have said, because of God, I did B's and C's. When you say, what is love? It's the same thing. God has always been in the life. It doesn't have to be a preamble to everything that I say. So when I say I love my wife, the respect means holding her always in high regard, protecting her feelings, and not making any derogatory statements that would be derogatory to her in any way, looking out for her self-esteem at all times, respectful. But when you mention that, no mention of God, if you'd ask me, how was your trip, your tour in the Army? I'm not going to say, because of God, I got promoted to this rank. God has always been part of the life, and it's been there. So when you ask a question about loving my wife, then I tell you about loving my wife. But God has always and is always there in our lives, has been since birth.
All right. Well, I like your response. And basically, I'm listening to you and thanking God for what you said. Yeah, you're right. God gives us the ability to do the very things that we do. The scripture is plain and simple when it says we live, we move, we have our being. I mentioned the fact that if we neglect to be respectful to our wives, to our girlfriends, to the women in our lives, we hinder our prayers. Anybody got any idea how a prayer can become hindered? And let me say this before anybody responds. And Pastor Henderson, have you made it in? Not yet. Okay. We're still trying to get her in. Basically, when you look at respect, can mean many things. You know, here it is in a nutshell, and this is as simple as I can get. A godly husband acknowledges his special lady's excellence. He acknowledges her self-worth, and he does that through acts of consideration. I heard you say it already, Brother Otis, so I wouldn't ask you to go back over it again, although you would just be exceptionally proud to be able to go back over it in detail and possibly add some things to it. But we understand that in helping our wives whenever and wherever we can, especially when we notice that she might possibly be in a position of need. And see, there's one little oddball thing I find out about women. When they have a need, if they have confidence in you as their spouse, as their significant other, they will come to you and say, baby, I need this, that, and the other. What should happen if you are respecting her and walking with her, you're walking together, if you are loving her, the proof comes when she doesn't have to open her mouth. You see that she's struggling with something, and you make it your business to go and to help her and assist her in whatever way possible to get her to where she needs to be. She never said to you, I need help in this, that, and the other, but you picked it up and you felt her spirit in the process of trying to get this thing done. And so now you move forward. This makes her feel deeply appreciated. And when you make your wife, your gift from God, feel appreciated, the sky, the solar system, however high you can go, that's the limit. So I'm going to say that. So a godly husband knows and recognizes that his wife literally is a gift from God, and he appreciates her in all things, and he wants to do so much for her. That man that he inevitably ends up with, that woman inevitably ends up with, he makes her feel loved. He makes her feel wanted. He makes her feel appreciated, and this, to me, is a profoundly important piece of the entire puzzle. What do I mean by that? Well, a good man will always remind you how much you mean to him, dear lady, whoever you are listening right now. He will turn around and say, baby, you are so important to me. You're only second behind the Trinity. I promise you, if you were not in my life, I don't know where I'd be. Y'all know how we talk, men. Come on and talk to me, y'all, about this. Does anybody agree or disagree with what I just said?
I don't disagree, but I wanted to ask you, what is it that makes couples competitive between the two of them? I've had some friends where it seems like they and their spouses compete, you know, to see who can outdo the other. And I was just wondering what happens in a relationship that makes you want to compete, you know, among each other.
Well,
is it a form of disrespect or is
let me
what?
Say this. let me say this. They seem to lack the value of the relationship. I mean, what I mean by that is basically they end up being competitive. It could be both positive and negative. Now, if you're looking at it in the positive, they're trying to outdo one another, which to me is literal, utter foolishness. This is not a contest. This is you loving the woman whom God has blessed you with. If you are a Christian, if you're a non-Christian, you're loving the woman with whom you've chosen in life to spend the rest of your life with. You have to learn how to love her. You have to make that woman feel, as I said earlier, wanted. The competition part is not, I mean, I'm not understanding it myself. I've seen couples. They compete with one another. What are you trying to prove? I'm just saying, what are you trying to prove? That woman just wants to be loved, respected, wanted, and appreciated. I'll say it again. That woman just wants to be loved, respected, wanted, and appreciated. And a good man will take the time to make sure that those areas of life for her is actually being fulfilled. Men can be less communicative. They can be less affectionate than women are. And that's, I don't know if it's a given, because there are some affectionate men. There are some men who know how to communicate, but not all men can do it. But this is not an excuse, whether they can communicate or not. If someone is, you know, truly loves you, and, you know, you'll know it, you'll feel it, it'll be there. There, you don't have to worry about things like competition. I mean, again, I got to ask that crazy question. What's the purpose of the competition? There's a lack of respect toward that individual for who they are and for what they bring to the table. And so when you see where she might be short, you're going to try to make it up, but you're going to parade it in such a way as if you're saying to her, look what I'm doing. I'm doing this for you. I don't have to do this, but I decided I'm going to do it because I want to do it for you. Wrong motive. Wrong motive. Whoever you are listening today, wrong motive. You do not, under any circumstance, turn around and belittle and berate and put down your spouse, male or female, under any circumstance. If you want to do something for your spouse, don't haphazard. And I'm going to say a word to some of you, you might hold your breath. You're not supposed to say that. I'm going to say it this way so that I make sure those of you listening, and yes, I said it. Bishop elect Ernest E. Richards said it. Don't approach your wife with a half-ass idea and think she's just going to take it. I'm sorry, sir. She knows when you're genuine, and she knows when you mean it from your heart. Now, if you lack the means or the funds or the ability to produce what it is, that woman will love you like no other, because she sees the zeal and the desire and the determination in your heart. She doesn't need a competition, mister. She needs you. Come on and respond, somebody. And no, I don't make any apologies for using that phrase, because I'm getting sick and tired personally of seeing these guys. They call themselves, and here's the worst part, every Valentine's Day, you go out and do the same thing. You go buy candy. You go buy a card you don't even mean. You just bought it because it's Valentine's Day. You might buy some raggedy behind flowers that are about to die in 2 days. And then when that day is over, you go back to business as usual. What kind of nonsense is that? Talk to me, y'all.
All right. The one thing that you mentioned, that many men can learn from is to buy your wife gifts on Tuesday. Just because it is Tuesday, for no other reason. It doesn't have to be anniversary or Valentine's Day or birthday. You see something that you think she might like, just get it. Just get it for her. And this thing about date night is for me and my wife, date night or date day, whatever it is, it's any time we say, baby, what time is it? He says, oh, it's about 2 o'clock so we can get here in time for lunch. She said, well, how soon you want to go? How about 30 minutes from now? We don't have to wait until a special day or a special time to be what we call exceptionally nice and respectful and loving to our wives. That is, people always talk about, Black history is every day. Mother's Day is every day. This day is every day. Well, how about wife loving? That is something that is definitely
every day.
Day. Because you're with her every day, all day, many hours of the day. So just do it on that day. Whatever day you're with her, that's the day to give her special attention. It doesn't have to be the anniversary.
Amen. Brother Reverend Dr. Billy.
I'm still here.
I know you are. Come on and talk to me.
Okay, I am. And once again, I like that. If it is the area, even in the, I know, even there are times some of my friends, a friend I might have, at certain time I can just remember it especially. That time I could be sitting here and I get hungry, and I could call especially a friend or a friend. And I might say, hey, have you eaten today? Have you eaten already? I hope you haven't had dinner yet. How would you like to go to Humpty Dumpty Fish Fry, whatever it might be? And sometimes I can just hear and feel the elation that they have, that they express just in the idea of me asking them to come. That's why it works in the single life as well as the married life, when you Letting the individual know or feel that she is special. And if you just send a little card up there that says, thinking of you, but you don't have to send cards out now. You can touch that little thing on the phone and come up with all type of little emojis to let them know. Let all two of them, like one of the friends called back and sent me one back, your greetings make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It just things like that just make them feel good. It's amazing how just a little word, just a token of a direction that let me know that you're thinking of them, make them feel good. There have been a couple of times when I have joined them for dinner, I might have purchased a small gift like a box of candy or something like that. It blows my. And how women react over a box of chocolate, especially I hope I pronounced that word, Godiva candy, G-O-D-I-V.
You got it.
How they think that's a special type of chocolate. Apparently it is, because it costs more than $1. And they smile wide on those. And sometimes I get a little peck on the cheek.
Wow. Now, I'm glad that you said that. And see, whether you're single or married, if there's somebody significant in your life that you want to make feel different, I said, you know, and I'm only reiterating what's already been said. Dr. Kimmy, a man approaches you and he desires to have your hand in marriage. He desires to win your heart. Is there something that he has to possess to put you in that position?
Basically, he needs to love the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And I do want someone who is who works. I want someone
uh-huh.
who is thriving. I want someone, mm-hmm. but that's not really major. But first, love the Lord, love his mom, and I prefer someone who has children. And so I want to make sure that he's taking care of his children, and you know, someone who's just really kind and has a beautiful heart. Yeah.
Well, Sister Kimmy, I'm not available, but, you know, no, I'm joking. Anyway. No, I'm messing with him. Y'all got to understand, that's my sister in the Lord. We always have fun like that. So those of you who listen, don't
yes.
get holy bound, because we don't roll like that. It's about the
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ and nothing less. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Now, I'm going to say this for all of us that are on the line. And what I'm going to say, if you agree with me, so let me know that you agree. And if you don't agree with me, I don't mind you being disagreeable toward me. Just do it respectfully. That's all I'm going to say. But what I was going to say, I started to say it, and I didn't finish my comment, so I'm going to finish it now. It's basically, if you know an individual truly, truly loves you, I said it earlier, you'll know it, you'll feel it. It's going to be in the air, and every indication that that's the case will be a positive to you. And if you don't find somebody that makes you feel loved, wanted, and or appreciated, you're going to wonder all the time if they ever did. I mean, I put that comment out there. We know, and I will say this to those of you listening by way of radio, and this is just a small piece of advice. You should never commit your time, efforts, or energy into somebody who's not willing to give the same in return. Let me say that again in case you missed it. You should never commit your time, energy, and efforts into someone who's not willing to give you the same in return. And here's where I am in relationships when I say that. There are some women who are desiring to be married, want to be married. The time clock of life is ticking. They want to have children. They want to start a family. But this guy is stringing them along 10, 12, 14, 15 years, no commitment to marriage, no children, and you're taking away the best years of her life, fooling around with your lack of commitment. Ladies, I'll say it for you again. If this man, don't commit your time to you, your time, your effort, or your energy to a man who's not willing to give you the same in return. And do not commit your time to a man who has no desire to see marriage as your ultimate goal. Now, I know there are some out there, especially with this new millennial age people and their way of thinking, you know, they say, well, we don't necessarily have to be married. We just have to be together. Well, you got to understand, sweetie, if there is no commitment to tie the knot, he can walk away from you the night after you give him the cookies. Am I wrong, Sister Teresa? Not that you've ever experienced that, but you're a woman. You and Sister Kimmy, talk to me. Am I saying something wrong?
No, that's definitely correct. I agree with you on that. I really do.
Talk to me, Dr. Robson. I'm trying to get these ladies involved here, fellas. Y'all have to understand because we fellas can go at it all day, but I'm trying to give advice that's going to help. Now, as one who has been married and is married, I say that. I'm 63. I'll be 64 on my next birthday, which ain't that far away. And in my years, I have been married and divorced on a couple of occasions. And I can tell you from experience when the Bible says in Amos, the fifth chapter, it says, and the fifth verse, it says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk together if you're not in agreement with one another. Many of us learn the hard way that being with someone who doesn't appreciate us can make us feel more alone than it does being single. The single person has an advantage. It is a terrible thing to be with somebody and yet feel like you're by yourself. that make any sense to anybody? Brother Billy, let me let you answer
that
one.
That happens a lot when you maybe go out on a date and you're around his friends, and you're the one sort of like the new person, and you're there among all of his friends, and he's introducing you to everybody, but you just feel alone because you don't have his one-on-one attention anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an example that I thought about.
All right, and that was a great example. Reverend Billy?
Yes, and that is a real good one. And it worked. It worked in the house also, in marriage about being there, but yet still feel alone. And just as we're talking now, when you're not paying attention to one another, a person come home from work. I just use it as an example. A lady come home from work, or the man come home from work.
Uh huh.
You would expect. I expect a good, warm welcome. Hi, baby. How you doing? How was your day? But all too often we come there and we come in and get changed clothes, get the remote control, sit down and talk, and might mumble a few things. No touching, no holding. And you're still by yourself. You're in the house. You could be among a group of other people. If no one is sharing time with you, talking to you, in that crowd, you stand like a fly in buttermilk. You know, it's just, there is no connectivity, there's no greeting. Oh, okay, let me do this. Even at the church, when you visit another church, when you come into the church, the ushers don't greet you. They might point toward a seat. And after the service, no one greet to shake your hand or to say welcome to your church. Like, that is a belittling and a lonely feeling where you go there with the hope of probability of connecting with somebody, feeling some type of companionship, and you leave the church feeling worse than you did when you got there, because in the midst of that 300 or 400, 100 or even 50 people, and no one acknowledges your presence. That is a belittling situation.
All right, now listen. We've covered, and I said there were seven godly marks of a godly husband. And I don't want to make this just about the men. It goes on both sides of the fence. I'm talking about the husband today because as the prophet, priest, and king, it is our responsibility to initiate these things so that that woman would feel comfortable in leaving the comfort of the family and the home that she once knew. She's venturing out into a place called the great unknown, where basically she's relying on you to guide this family through those tough waters. And as we had already said, if you learn how to respect her, it makes her comfortable and that much more appreciative of you as we move forward and we deal with the storms of life. And yes, there are going to be storms in life. Lady Teresa, I don't know if you have your Bible. Get me Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 19th verse. And I asked you to get it because I want you to read it. When you have it, please let me know. As I close the avenue of respect for tonight's discussion, keep this in mind, my brothers. Be communicative with your spouse. Be affectionate toward your spouse. Try to help make her feel as comfortable with you as possible. And in those times when you make a mistake, be a man and stand up and admit that you made a mistake. The worst thing you can be is a dishonest man in the presence of your spouse. She knows much more about you than she's actually revealing. Have you found that scripture yet, sis?
Yes, I have. Was it verse number 19?
Verse number 19. Before you read. Hold on. Yep, hold on. Before you read
Colossians 3.
I need to say this. I got you. A man should treat the woman he loves not only with respect, but with tenderness. Read Colossians 3:19.
Okay, Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not harsh with them. Let me see. Well, this is a King James. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them.
Yes. It's just simply saying don't be harsh with your wife.
Yes.
Don't be brash with her. Don't shortchange her. If she asks you a question, don't snap at her. And don't make her feel like she's less than what she is. She comes with a tender, open heart, waiting to find out something or to learn something about something she may not have understanding in. And I'm going to say this. Women are very bright, very intelligent, but they're also super sensitive. For some strange reason, to a certain degree, they wear their feelings on their sleeves. And when you speak to them in the wrong manner and in the wrong fashion, it hurts their feelings. It causes them to retreat from you. It causes them to move back from you. Now they don't have the confidence in you that they first had when they first approached you. So when you look at this scripture in Colossians 3:19, as I said earlier, a man should treat his wife, his woman, not only with respect, but with tenderness. Harshness can be anything from anger, a look of irritability, a disrespectful or demeaning response or language. Basically, being harsh is anything that reflects hostility. Now, I recognize every last one of us has bad days. Every last one of us has moments where we don't want to be bothered. Every last one of us has those times when we wish folk would just go away. But this is your better half. This is you in the flesh standing alongside of you. Why are you trying to push yourself away? Come on and respond to that, somebody.
Yes, I wanted to respond to your first question that you mentioned, which is in direct correlation with this one, about a person mistreating someone for many years. That is not only, you mentioned that they have, you know, lost having fun and happiness and joy, experiencing those in the best years of their lives, you know, which would be maybe that youthful period, that whatever it is identified as. But that not only is interfering and denying the woman of a fun-filled, happy, productive life, the man, well, both parties are aging a year at a time at the same time. So you would think that they were, so I definitely agree with what you said, that we should not spend time wasting time in another person's life and our life at the same time in a relationship that is dysfunctional. It is not productive. It is not pleasant. It is not fun. But for some reason, people continue to maintain that relationship that they don't want to be in, and they know that the spouse does not want to be in. So whatever reason, that happens frequently. And we're all familiar with relationships where the people are just there together. Don't even, not love, don't even like each other very much. So whatever advice you have for that, a lot of people are waiting for it right now.
Well, and I mean, you know, here it is right now. Colossians 3:19 is talking about that, about how we should not be hard. I hear every word you're saying. But basically, you know, as I said, we all have bad days. Whatever we're going through internally should not be taken out on the woman you love externally. You should never take out your I know you had a bad day at the job. The boss got on your last nerves. You almost got fired because you was about a gnat's hair from cussing your boss out and punching him or her in the face. I'm not saying that's what you were going to do, but you felt like it. But you come home, and my wife and I have often talked about this. Now she's working at home, and so it's a different dynamic at this moment. But we used to always say we're not going to bring our jobs into the house. Once we've left our jobs, the job stays where it is. A godly husband has to be keen to his wife's and be sensitive to his wife's feelings. He has to focus on the fact that she is not only the gift that God has placed in his life, but also a child of the Most High. And because of this, you know, we have to put ourselves in a position where we have to be respectful. So there are two things we covered, and we may get to the rest of it next week, or we may have to wait for another time to do this, because we are just about out of time. It's a little past the hour. I'm not going to go too far, because this next one is a big one. And I mean a big one. I was saying earlier, I should be saving this for a men's conference and for a men's fellowship, and I can talk about it a little bit later when we get to that. We talked about being respectful toward her. If you love me, where's the proof? The proof is in the fact that you're respectful toward her. If you love me, where's the proof? The proof is in the fact, as you heard Colossians 3:19, you're not harsh toward her. You are very, very gentle with her. You are not demeaning. You are not disrespectful. You are not looking at her like you're irritated with her. You are not being harsh toward her. You're not taking out your bad hair day on her just because she happens to be the closest thing. She is not a Persian rug, and you don't have the right to beat her verbally, mentally, emotionally, and certainly not physically. I'm going to make mention of this last one. We are not going to get deep into it. We're going to scratch the surface on this one. And should Apostle Whitlow allow us to go into this, we will get that much more in depth next week. The other thing we have to understand, if you love me, as we're saying, where's the loyalty? The proof is in your loyalty. Fidelity in marriages demands 1,000% commitment and prioritizing your spouse above everything that you will ever come across. And any man that's worth his weight in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and especially a godly husband, knows that it will take work, it will take effort, it will take sacrifice. Let me share something with you guys today. I haven't shared it with Sister Richard yet, but I will. Today, I was on my way. I had just come out the barbershop, so I decided to go to Dollar Tree to look for a specific item that I wanted. While I was sitting in my car, two young ladies passed in the front of my car. Now, here's where I want to talk about loyalty. And you know there's a level of loyalty when one of them passes by and the package that she carries on her body just makes you look and then double take. And you say in your mind, I'm going to be honest, you say in your mind, oh, my God, you know, how I don't know what you paint your clothes on this morning. I'm just sorry, ladies. I got to say it that way so you get. But it lets me know that you see it, but you don't desire it and you don't want it. And even though you may comment, it doesn't mean that you have a desire toward it. A man who is rooted and grounded in Christ, a man who is rooted and grounded in his love with his wife, will understand that it's going to take some kind of, because let's just be real here, fellas, let's talk. This is the fellas this time, ladies. Y'all can sit on the bench for this one. You see it, and it passes right by you. I'm going to talk some simple, plain language here, ladies. I don't mean you no disrespect, but I'm going to have to say it. They put on these spandex, and you see a camel toe in the front, her areolas on the top, bouncing like basketballs in the back. Now, don't act like you blind and like you can't see. You see it. The question is, how do you respond to it? Come on and talk to me, fellas.
Well, let either have eyes, let them see. No, and it has said, for every, we are, as men, we are definitely wired a lot different. And the woman, the women know that they have a very different and attractive physique. But I also know the Bible, if you always talk about the Bible, it says there is no temptation known to man that we do not have.
Thank you. Thank you.
However, it's just like going fishing. I've said that, and then women can dress this that way. Now, I'm a little older than most of you, Jeff.
Okay.
When I was growing up,
I have a response to that.
Hold on a minute. Let him finish. Let him finish, Brother Otis.
Oh, Brother, you finish?
No, I was still talking.
Go right ahead, buddy.
Okay, and I was just saying, when I was in high school, if you saw a kneecap, because they wore the long dresses at that time, if you saw a kneecap, your hormones began to rush. But right now, it is almost, we have gravitated to just an area now. It's almost, for me, it's almost immune because of the progressiveness of the dress. But it's not to say at 85, there are still man-made hormones reactions to that. But just because you see it, you don't have to go fishing for it. But you just appreciate the beauty. And some tell you might want, but you just have to yield.
All right. Come on, Brother Otis. We got a couple of minutes left.
Okay, the situation that you both described, those situations are very real, and they are going to occur frequently because once women and men, let's say women, reach a certain stage in life and they have evaluated themselves as super fine, beautiful, highly attractive, and when you have that, it's like having a new car. Is you want to shine it up and show it off. And so they know that their bodies are in very good shape, very attractive, and they like to show them off. And even though you may not know it, but they can check responses. They see men looking at them and turning their heads without even having to look over. So, I know that's going to occur, and especially right now, and it's going to, the summertime is coming, and then more clothes are coming off, and there's more exposure, you know, to just pure body. And that is very exciting. It's attractive. But for me, is if I'm driving or if I'm stopped at a light and that person crosses in front of me, there's a certain area that I'm looking forward, and my forward called line of sight covers about 35 degrees. Once the person comes into that area and I see them, that's good. Once they get out of that 35-degree angle, if I do not cut my eyes to see them, and definitely don't turn the head, I don't turn my head to get just a longer linger at what just passed by. It's just like
smart man, Brother Otis. You are a smart man, I promise you.
don't turn my head.
Because
that's good advice.
Because you'll get
hit. All right.
That's good advice. Sister Gabriel has every right to oops upside your head if you're sitting over there staring and gawking, saying, look, you like it so much, go in there and be with her. That's some of the women will say that, but it makes sense. You know, but I will say this, and you said something. I was going to make a comment, but you already said it in the way you said it. All I was going to say was every man has to know that the reward is sweeter than the price he may feel he has to pay for that moment that he would
call it. Amen, and that goes back to your other question, Elder, respect.
That's exactly what it is. We're going to stop right there. We're not finished by any means. I want to thank Brother and Sister Gabriel for being with me, Reverend Billy Gabriel for being here today. I want to thank you, our wonderful producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and you, the listening audience, whether you're online right now or whether you're on wherever you are listening, we always appreciate you coming in and taking the time to hear what we got to say. We do not claim to be relationship experts. We are just men and women who have had some experience in this thing called marriage. To some degree, some of us may have been divorced and probably are divorced at this time, but we can sit down and share our experiences with you to help you to develop a long-lasting, loving relationship with the one that you've been called to walk through the journey of life with. We want to remind you that every Saturday evening at 10 p.m., you can hear Making Marriage Meaningful with Apostle Irvin Whitlow, who's on assignment at this present point in time. We know God has had his way. We keep our brother up in prayer. He may or may not return to you next week, and if he doesn't, myself or somebody will be here to carry the ball. Don't forget also every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock, you can listen to The Voice on Tuesday with Apostle Vincent L. Smith, and on Thursday with The Pastor's Corner with yours truly, Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbat Ministries. Also, I can't remember Pastor Michelle Wright's service, maybe Dr. Kimmy Robinson. You can put that service out there so people will know about it. I mean, the bottom line is simply this. On Elations Radio, Blog Talk Radio, there is a lot of good ministries, messages, and services going forward. You don't want to miss them. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. On behalf of Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., I'm going to use his phrase in closing. Dr. Kimmy, get that song ready. Go with God, and he will go with you. We'll see you next Saturday here on Making Marriage Meaningful. Have a great night.
Good night.